I'm going to be honest with you, plant friends. I have done a complete 180 on ferns. If you've listened to this podcast for the last 250 episodes, you've probably heard me say how I don't like ferns, how I've killed Boston ferns, how they're not my favorite recommended houseplant. But man, I have been caring successfully for ferns for the last year or so, and I have learned a thing or two that I am so excited to tell you because I have to say, I have really enjoyed adding ferns to my collection, but it's adding the right ferns to your collection and not the wrong ones. So let's dive into it. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants. Hello, plant friends. Welcome. I'm Maria, your new best plant friend. If you're new here, hi, I'm here to help you care for plants successfully and grow joy in your life by doing so. And if you're a repeat listener, welcome home. Welcome back. I'm so honored to be a part of your planty journeys. You might hear my little baby parakeet in the background, Frankie. So funny with this podcast. He's silent all day in my office until I literally click record and then he's a little chatterbox. So he's excited about ferns too today. Today's episode is going to be all about ferns, about my experience growing ferns, a bunch of care tips. We're going to go over different varieties of ferns that you can grow, ones that you should grow and ones that you shouldn't grow. And I'm so thankful to Proven Winners Leaf Joy for partnering with me on this Growing Joy with Leaf Joy miniseries, where we do these deep dives on plant care and genus deep dives to make sure that you feel empowered to grow plants successfully. And therefore, when we're growing plants successfully, then we get to grow joy in our lives by doing so. Please let me know if you have requests for this mini series, whether it's a genus you'd like us to dive into or whether it's a certain aspect of plant care. But man, I do love Proven Winners Leaf Joy. They are growing high quality houseplants, big, full houseplants. I also am finding that when you start with a big, full pot of a really well-established houseplant, especially with a fern, you're going to set yourself up for more success than if you start with like a little wimpy cutting or something. But they are growing plants in a European greenhouse. High quality, incredible species, incredible cultivars that we're going to dive into today. Make sure that you ask your local garden center if they have Proven Winners Leaf Joy and look for the Leaf Joy tag. Okay. So one reason why I love ferns, and I don't know if you're like me, but I always track plants in TV shows. And on Will and Grace, there's a huge Boston fern in Will and Grace's apartment. It's so epic and big and bushy. And if you know, you know, and you don't, you don't. But anyway, I've always loved that fern, and I've always wanted ferns to look like that in my house. But before we dive into plant care, I'm going to talk to you about how we can have thriving, big, bushy, happy ferns in our homes. Let's zoom out and go over the high-level overview of the fern genus. So ferns have been around for millions of years. They are one of the original plants. They date back to prehistoric times. And because of that, there's a very wide array of fern families and species because they're actually very resilient and adaptive. So when we think of ferns, we think of a maidenhair fern that you're going to bring inside and it's going to like die immediately on you. But if you think about it, in order for a plant to have survived and grown decade over decade over decade, they need to be resilient. They have adapted to changing environments and climates. I don't know if you've ever seen that meme on social media, but it's this funny meme about how you see like a fern growing out of a crack in a rock on the sidewalk and thriving. But then the minute you bring it home, it's going to like shrivel up and die. So they're in reality in the jungle, they're very resilient. And because they're one of the earliest plants to grow and adapt on land, they have played a very significant role in Earth's ecosystems. They thrive in a variety of different habitats, but most of those habitats are high humidity. So when we're talking about ferns, we're going to be talking about humidity. Before we dive into that and the care, other interesting thing about ferns is that they reproduce differently than a lot of our other houseplants. So ferns have spores. You might have seen if you grow a fern, like there are little dark spots on the leaves that are in an even pattern. Sometimes they might look like scale, or they might look like almost a burn or scabs, but those are spores. They're the reproductive units produced by ferns and other non-flowering plants. So they're not like seeds, where a fern doesn't grow a flower and then that flower turns into a seed and then you can plant that seed and grow another fern. It has these spores that are single-celled structures that kind of explode and travel in the air, and then they can develop new ferns under the right conditions. So often people will write me saying, oh my God, my fern has scale, or oh my God, my fern has these weird brown dots. What's wrong with it? And there's nothing wrong with it. It's spores. It's trying to reproduce. So you're doing a great job. So a wonderful thing about ferns is that they're a low light tolerant plant. So ferns, understory, they grow on the floor. They grow in shade, which is amazing. I remember I was in Jamaica recently and I was in this cave and there were ferns just thriving, growing on the inside of this cave. They were like barely getting any light. So they're a low light tolerant plant. And for us houseplant lovers, that's actually amazing because we only have so much valuable real estate in our windowsills, right? Which tend to be higher light opportunities. So ferns can be great choices for bright indirect light or low light if you have like a coffee table that's away from a window, if you have a bathroom that has a small window but low light. Ferns are great low light options. They are not going to tolerate direct light. So that's where you might start to see leaf burn. You don't want to put your fern in a southern facing window. You don't want to put your fern under a grow light that's too strong or on too long for the day. So in general, they're going to like filtered light, bright indirect light, medium, or are low light tolerant. Watering is where you are going to win or lose with ferns, in addition to humidity. And frankly, you can argue that watering and humidity are two of the same thing. So consistently moist soil is what is going to make ferns happy. And it's what's going to avoid those like crispy brown edges. Your ferns do not want to dry out. No matter what type of fern you're growing, it doesn't want to dry out. It wants evenly moist soil. So here is what I have found. Here are some changes that I've made with my ferns that have enabled me to consistently care for them. My ferns are in highly trafficked areas in my home. Because of that, I'm always interacting with them. My ferns are all in my office, and I'm in my office every day. So every day when I see them, I can see, oh, it's beginning to wilt, or I can put my finger in the soil, up, the soil's getting dry. I can keep a close eye on ferns because the minute the top of the soil starts to dry out, I'm going to immediately start watering it again. If you keep your fern soil evenly moist, you're not going to have to worry about the humidity as much with the hardier ferns that we're going to talk about. I never put my ferns in terracotta pots because of that, because the terracotta will wick the water out of the soil. I put my ferns in glazed ceramics. I put my ferns in plastic pots, in a cash pot, or just in a plastic pot. Most of my ferns are in a plastic nursery pot that is then in a cash pot, in a pot that has no drainage holes. You can also use self-watering planters with ferns. So I have a bunch of different types of self-watering planters that I'm experimenting with right now. But you can get a self-watering planter with a fern. And as long as you remember to keep that self-watering reservoir filled and you don't let that reservoir dry out, which is something I've done before, that's going to be a great option with ferns. Another thing that I've really been experimenting with and finding great success, you know, I'm about to leave for 10 days. I'm recording this episode, closing my computer and hitting the road for 10 days. I have found around 10 days for me and my home environment, I have been taking sphagnum moss and dampening it and then putting it on top of the soil. And that gets my ferns through about 10 days of without watering, without like completely shriveling up and dying. So I have found too. So I tried this sphagnum moss on top of the soil for a 10-day trip that I took. And it was so successful that now I actually just have all of my ferns. I keep sphagnum moss on top of the soil. And when I just water it, it's like I water the moss and the moss gets wet. And also the water goes through the moss and then into the soil. And I've just found that that moss has helped maintain and kind of trap the water in the soil, and it keeps the soil evenly moist. And for someone who is guilty of underwatering plants a lot, that layer of sphagnum moss on top of the soil has been really helpful. And I'm actually looking at one of my ferns right now and realizing that it doesn't have moss on it because I repotted it. So I need to add moss to it before I leave for my trip today. I haven't tried this technique. I don't remember who I saw on the internet doing it, but another technique I've seen, which helps increase humidity allegedly, is that say you have a fern in a cash pot, you can put damp sphagnum moss in between the nursery pot and the cash pot, and that damp sphagnum moss will kind of transpire and like release a little bit of humidity. I think that's an interesting thing. I haven't tried that, but if you do try that technique, please report back to me because it sounds like it makes a lot of sense. So if you want ferns to thrive, you got to keep that water moist. That's really what's going to do it. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we dive into species in a second. But the other thing that most ferns tend to suffer from is humidity. So when you can, ferns are going to love high humidity. If you want to grow a maidenhair fern, a heartleaf fern, some versions of the Boston fern, the more delicate versions of the Boston fern, any of the ferns that have super, super, super delicate, fine, paper-like thin fronds and leaves, those ferns are going to need high humidity. We're talking like 60 to 80% to really be bushy and huge and thriving, right? Now, other hardier ferns like the bird's nest fern, some rabbit's foot ferns, like the lemon fern, like some of those are not going to need as much humidity. And those are the ones that I like and that I've really been caring for. But if you're going to grow a fancy fern, you're going to need some sort of fancy humidifier situation. Ferns are great options for growing under glass. If you want to increase local humidity, but you don't want to increase the humidity of an entire room, you can get a specimen plant and put it under glass. So I used to have an asparagus fern, and I grew that asparagus fern with a glass cloche on top of the actual pot. So the cloche was only for this one plant. You can buy these cloches on the internet. I think I have them on my shop and my Amazon storefront, but they're glass cloches that literally sit on top of the lip of the pot and basically increase humidity just for the plant's leaves. They're also great things to have for if you ever need to resuscitate a plant and you need to just like boost humidity. If I'm ever resuscitating a plant, if I'm growing a new cutting, I'll pop the cloche over it as well. But anyway, if you want to grow a maidenhair fern, if you want to grow a heartleaf fern, put that puppy under glass. Put it in a terrarium, put it under a cloche, put it in a beautiful Edwardian cabinet, put it in a grow tent, right? So try and increase that humidity either by putting it under glass or using a humidifier. Another trick that I think is one of the reasons why my ferns are growing so well is when you group plants, you do kind of create a microclimate. Their transpiration will kind of boost the humidity by a couple of points. My ferns that I'm growing successfully are on my Zoom background. I think I have like 20 plants in one bookshelf with grow lights, and all of my ferns are there. So I feel like because they're surrounded by other plants, they're rocking and rolling and super happy and probably benefiting from the transpiration of the other plants around them. In terms of fertilizing, you're going to want to be gentle with ferns. They are a delicate, sensitive Sally, but when you see new growth, you want to fertilize. I love using a liquid indoor houseplant specific fertilizer. It's a liquid indoor fertilizer I put in my watering can and then fertilize the plants. It's super gentle. It's specifically for indoors. If you're using an outdoor fertilizer, you should use like half the strength for houseplants, if not even a quarter of the strength for houseplants. But if you see new fern fronds, support that plant and give it some love. And then another thing that I think is important with ferns is like you just need to get on top of the grooming. Like ferns are like a pet that needs to be groomed occasionally. With ferns, you're going to have brown fronds. You're going to have some fronds turn brown, fall off, die off. You're going to maybe have a yellow one. Like just get comfortable with grooming the plant. Ferns are also very resilient. So I used to have this Boston fern where like every 6 months, I would forget to water it and like it would turn pretty brown and crispy. And I would go back and forth between, do I toss this or do I just like give it a total haircut? And man, especially with those Boston ferns, if you just give it a haircut and like chop off all the brown fronds, new fronds will grow in very quickly. Like I said, these plants are very resilient outdoors. So even though they're sensitive, they're not just going to like completely die on you. As long as the roots are intact, you can prune the plant back. Prune all the brown stuff off and the new fresh green fronds will grow in. But I think if you want to care for ferns indoors, you need to like emotionally prepare yourself for the fact that you are going to see brown spots. Like I don't know anyone in any of my plant friends that like has perfect specimen ferns indoors unless they're growing them under glass in an IKEA cabinet, in an Edwardian case, under a cloche. And so if you're going to have ferns just as a general part of your collection, just like be comfortable with the fact that you might get some browning and that's okay. Just prune the plant off or just let it rock its little brown spots. So for troubleshooting, so that's the perfect moment for troubleshooting. So if you see every frond have uniform browning on the leaves, that's a humidity issue. So my rabbit foot fern, I notice only recently has started getting some uniform browning. So I'm going to make sure that I am not missing my watering schedule because that can be a sign of underwatering, but that is likely a sign of humidity. And you want to try and up the humidity for that plant. So I actually might move it closer to the middle of this grouping of plants because it's kind of on the outskirts of my bookshelf. So I'm wondering if maybe I'm going to try and bump it inside, maybe put it under glass Or I might just chop off the couple of brown leaves and just know that new leaves will come in and they'll be better acclimatized to where it's growing. Yellowing could be a sign of overwatering. So you don't want the fern to sit in wet. Like you don't want the fern to sit in water. Like you don't want the soil to be sopping wet. So you want your pots to have a hole at the bottom of the pot so that water can drain through. So yellow leaves might just be, if it's like a bird's nest fern, sometimes the lower leaves will just turn yellow and fall off and you just remove them. Like it's normal for old leaves to turn yellow and fall off. But generally, if it's a yellow leaf, it's probably an overwatering issue or a water issue. Some ferns, especially the more delicate ferns, can also be sensitive to water minerals. So if you're seeing a lot of brown spots, a lot of browning on your leaves, try a filtered water, like water from your Brita, or get like a distilled spring water and try watering with that. And that might fix your problem. And then you'll see, they call it balding. That's when a Boston fern, it gets kind of patchy. So like the ferns will start to fall off or like it'll start to get kind of thin. I'm kind of brutal when that happens and I'll just like chop it down to its studs because I know that more fronds will grow in. But balding also might be that it needs a little bit more light. So the thing with ferns is that they're low light tolerant, but they're not no light tolerant. So if you're putting your fern in like a room with no windows or a room that gets such little light, or you're putting it so far from a window, it gets such little light that it can't really survive. That's also where it's going to lose its leaves because it's not going to be able to sustain itself because it's not making enough food for itself through photosynthesis. So that could also be a lighting issue. Also, if it's in too much light, you're going to see the fronds turn brown. It's wild. I had to put my Monstera in my car the other day and I was driving with it. It was a really hot day. The sun was really bright. And one of the big leaves on my Monstera is scorched. It turned completely brown. I feel so bad because the leaf was under my windshield and I feel terrible, but I just hacked it off and life moved on, you know? So now let's move into our species. So once again, I just want to say quick thanks to Proven Winners LeafJoy for partnering on this episode and this mini series, the Growing Joy with LeafJoy series. It's made to help empower you to grow whatever plants you want to grow successfully. That's why we hit it from the genus level. That's why we hit it from the how to water your houseplants level, like common, good, solid houseplant care education. Proven Winners LeafJoy is growing high quality houseplants in their fancy European greenhouses in the States. I love the different species that they're cultivating. They're cultivating really interesting plants. They're cultivating really high quality plants. I love how robust and how many leaves the plants in their 4-inch pots come, like even their smallest pot comes with a very established, robust plant, and that makes it much easier to win as a plant parent when you care for a robust plant. Their plant name tags have plant Latin, so you know exactly what you're growing, which I really appreciate. So when you're at the garden center, look for the Proven Winners LeafJoy tag, ask for Proven Winners LeafJoy at your garden center so you can grow joy the way we are. All right, so let's go into what ferns you should grow and what ferns you shouldn't grow. I have seen very few people successfully grow maidenhair ferns indoors if you do not have a humidity amplifier or a glass case. If you are a 2.0, 3.0 varsity plant parent, sure, live your truth, live your best life, go for the maidenhair ferns. But if you are a beginner plant parent, I do not recommend a maidenhair fern. You're going to see it at the garden center. It's going to look so beautiful. It's going to be so bushy and the fronds are so delicate and it like blows in the wind and you're going to be like, oh my God, this maidenhair fern, it's amazing. And you're going to bring it home and it's probably, if you don't put it under high humidity, it's going to kind of shrivel up and die and you're going to feel so bad. So leave the maidenhair ferns for thriving on the side of a mountain out of a crack in a rock near a stream. Like they need so much humidity to thrive and they need such evenly moist soil. Like they don't leave a lot of room for error. If you have a maidenhair fern and you've burned it, also just hack all the leaves off and see if it grows back before you toss it. I recommend that with every fern you grow. Like before you toss it, see if you can resuscitate it in that capacity. So I wouldn't recommend maidenhair ferns. I also wouldn't recommend, and I learned this the hard way, that adorable little heart leaf fern. It's so petite and the fronds are heart-shaped and it's so cute. But once again, it's a very sensitive plant. If you're not growing it under glass, if you're not giving it humidity, it's going to be really hard to care for. So once again, that's a 2.0, 3.0 plant. Like you can totally grow it, but I wouldn't say as your first plant to bring home, as your first fern to bring home, you should. Let's talk about the ferns you should bring home. 10 out of 10, my most favorite, hardiest fern that I've grown so far. I'm so obsessed with it. I'm so impressed with it, is the bird's nest fern. And you can tell the fronds are thicker. The leaves of the bird's nest ferns are thicker. They're a little bit more succulent. They're a little bit more hardy. Proven Winners Leafjoy has a variety of bird's nest fern called the Hurricane. It is so cute. The leaves curl under in this really funky little shape. And I have also found that with the bird's nest ferns, because the leaves kind of stick out horizontally, they cover the soil. And so it's harder for the soil to dry out. So they kind of manage their soil moisture retention because the leaves kind of cover the soil as a moisture barrier, which I have found, like, I don't have to water my bird's nest hurricane as much as I have to water my rabbit's foot fern, because I feel like the bird's nest leaves are kind of protecting the soil. So with bird's nest ferns, there's all sorts of different types, but I love the hurricane variety. The Victoria variety is really cool, but I love bird's nest ferns. I feel like they should be the beginner fern for anyone who wants to dabble in the world of ferns. Another fern that I'm really loving, now this fern can show some signs of humidity. It depends on which species you bring home, but the rabbit's foot ferns are also super fun. You might see these as kangaroo paw. The one that I have from Proven Winners Leaf Joy is the Living Lace Divana. It's a Phlebotium aureum. They're so cute, but they're known as rabbit's foot ferns because they have these rhizomes that are fuzzy that grow on top of the soil. So it looks like they're little rabbit's feet, like popping out of the soil. It's really cute. But these types of ferns have really beautiful fronds. The kangaroo paw one is really popular. This Divana one that I have, the fronds are almost blue. It's so gorgeous. It grows in a clump style. The juvenile leaves are light green, and then they emerge. And as they age, they turn this like powdery blue-green patina. And it's so gorgeous. And when it catches the light in different angles of the light, it's a different color. It's so gorgeous. And also they're so delicate, and they kind of get that like standing, like floating in midair, kind of blown in the wind. They kind of get that vibe of the maidenhair fern, but they're a little bit hardier. Another great fern that I have found is really hardy. So if you do have that baldness moment, if you do have a browning moment, like hack it off and it'll just grow back, is the Boston fern, the lemon button fern, right? Those nice big bushy ferns, that's the one I was talking about in Will and Grace. Those ferns are great. Make sure those are evenly watered. When you underwater them, they will turn brown. But I have found if you buy a nice, robust Boston fern or lemon button fern, you can have success with them in your house. I did for a long time until I moved, and then the fern didn't make it in the move. And then last but not least, and this is a plant that I'm still experimenting with, but I'm also really surprised at how I'm growing and how successfully I'm growing it, is the staghorn fern. So the staghorn fern is known as the fern that you mount a lot. So it's got these strappy, elongated fronds that almost look like blades of a sword. So it's also called the sword fern. The fronds also look like antlers. So a lot of people actually mount staghorn ferns onto boards, and it almost looks like the vegan antler, like the vegan deer head on a mounted board, you know? You can kind of put the roots in sphagnum moss and then mount it on the board, which I think is really cool. But I've been growing it in soil. So my staghorn fern came in soil, and I've been growing it very successfully. The leaves do have a layer of fuzz, so don't use leaf shine products on them. But I gotta say, it's growing in indirect light. It's growing new leaves. Because they're epiphytic and they grow on trees, like, they are a little bit more tolerant of drying out than the other ferns that we mentioned today. So they are kind of a lower maintenance vibe. And I didn't even really know you could grow them in soil. So I've really been enjoying it. And I encourage you to try growing them as well, because they're really fun. And also the way that they grow, it's like a completely different texture to the rest of my plant collection. So like I said, I have all my ferns on this bookshelf that I have 20 other plants on, and the little staghorn fern antlers look really cute amidst all of my Hoyas and other fern fronds and philodendrons. It's just like a really cool other thing. I also think if I had to mount it and I had to take it off and water it and then hang the mounted fern, that's the way I would kill it, because I would forget to take the mounting off the wall and water it and then put it back. So I think for me, growing staghorn ferns in soil is going to be the way that I'm going to continue growing. So that's Ferns 101. Moist soil and humidity are the name of the game. If you're a beginner, try the bird's nest, try the staghorn, try a rabbit's foot. If you're a intermediate or an advanced plant parent and you want to go maidenhair fern, rock and roll, and let me know. Let me know what your tips are. I'm too scared. I haven't even brought a maidenhair fern home because I'm like, I don't want to set myself up for failure. But if you have successfully grown maidenhair ferns, please let me know how. I would love to hear your tips. Thank you again to Proven Winners Leave Joy for partnering with me on this episode and on the Growing Joy with Leave Joy miniseries. Like I said, let me know if you have other requests for this miniseries. I'm happy to make other educational genus deep dives or like high-level plant care episodes for you. I hope this encourages you to go experiment with ferns this summer. Please let me know on social media at Growing Joy with Maria what you end up buying and what you end up trying. I'm here for you. Like I said, I've done a complete 180. I'm so shocked at how much I love this bird's nest fern. I'm a bird's nest fern girl now. I had no idea. I used to be so anti-fern and now I'm totally pro-fern. So thank you, Proven Winners Leaf Joy, for encouraging me to try these ferns and figure out how to care for them. Let me know what you thought and what you're growing on socials or at Maria at Growing Joy with Maria. And I hope this episode helps you keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group. So if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, Plant Friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
Listen, there isn't any one way to be a Black girl. We aren't a monolith, and sometimes we can really use a community to help take on life together. What is going on, beautiful people? I'm Tyra the Creative, and I host the Affirmations for Black Girls podcast, a resource that I truly wish I had when I was growing up. I created the Affirmations for Black Girls community to foster a safe space for women who may find themselves feeling alone going through life's daily struggles. A space where we can be more open for the sake of a healthier future. And we like to keep it real, raw, and regular over here, okay? Life likes to hand us all kinds of lemons and limes. And through honest discussions, AFBG guides listeners through topics like relationships, faith, career, self-love, and personal development with a healing affirmation attached to every episode. By taking a moment to slow down, we encourage listeners to reflect on their emotions and personal experiences in order to move forward with a little extra understanding. And through all the laughs and all the tears, AFBG is here for you, girl. So here's a quick affirmation for y'all. Allowing myself to be open to new things is a form of self-care. Let's say it one more time together. Allowing myself to be open to new things is a form of self-care. Again, y'all, this is the Affirmations for Black Girls podcast. Check us out every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.